You're gonna be second number. These guys are gonna go. Danny and Matthew Hatch.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, ready? Let's pray, please. Heavenly Father, thank you for those who attended here this evening, who could have done other things, but have prioritized your word. Father, because they have, and because that's a matter of faith, bless us indeed with the word of God this evening. Give us what we need. Touch us deeply by your word. Change our thinking, change our minds, change our course if it's necessary, so that we might be those who follow hard after you, who lean hard upon you, and who understand that we have such an abundance from you, the abundant supply of the Word and the Spirit, which is the greatest commodity, most precious commodity on the earth today. Father, may we recognize it as such, not listening to a message as a message of a man, but listening to the message of the Lord, the message of the Holy Spirit, who is our teacher, our primary teacher. Father, show us things that we have not seen. Teach us things that we have not known. And Father, just let the Word richly indwell our hearts. Unto all wisdom, knowledge, and discernment. For it's in Christ's name that we pray. Amen. I've entitled the message this evening, Overflowing. And that's a very important spiritual subject in the Word of God. It's Friday Night Live, Friday, September 30th, 2016. We'll start with Numbers 25 to 12 to introduce our subject. See, God only accepts what He does. And our motivation has to be pure in every way. And it has to be, and our production has to be the byproduct of the Word of God in our souls. Once we're filled all the way up, and the work is the work that we do, the works that the Bible requires, that the Word of God, that the Lord requires, is always the overflow. First, we must be filled to all fullness, and then the overflow. David prayed in Psalm 23, He anoints my head with oil, and my cup overflows. That's the overflow, which means that his capacity keeps growing and expanding. And come what may, he's able to cope and to deal with everything that comes his way. And he had a lot of adversity and a lot of sins. And we can all relate to that, can't we? I think so. But that's not the issue. The issue isn't our sins. The issue is his righteousness. And indeed, we are the righteousness of God in Christ, according to 2 Corinthians 5:21. In 1 Corinthians 1:30. Numbers 20, verse 5. This is about the rock, Jesus, that followed the wilderness wanderings of Israel, followed them in their wilderness wanderings, and gave them water, flowed forth with water, and honey. Honey and water. To quench their thirst and give them a sweet life. They had dessert for their manna. They got tired of manna, so he gave them some honey for dessert. It came from the flinty rock, it says. Numbers 20, verse 5. This is Israel complaining, grumbling, moaning, gritching, as they say, to Moses. Why have you made us come up from Egypt to bring us into this wretched place? It is not a place of grain or figs, or vines or pomegranates, nor is there any water to drink. Then Moses and Aaron came in from the presence of the assembly to the doorway of the tent of meeting and fell on their faces, that is, before the Lord. Then the glory of the Lord appeared to them, and the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, Take the rod, And you and your brother Aaron assemble the congregation and speak to the rock before their eyes, that it may yield its water. You shall thus bring forth water for them out of the rock, and let the congregation and their beasts drink. So Moses took the rod from before the Lord, just as he had commanded him, and Moses and Aaron gathered the assembly before the rock. And he said to them, "Listen now, you rebels." He wasn't supposed to do that. "Shall we bring forth water for you out of this rock?" He's going to bring it forth. No, he's not. The Lord is. Then Moses lifted up his hand and struck the rock twice. What did God tell him to do? Speak to it. Not hit it. Speak to it. So, he who spared not his only son, but gave him up freely for us all, how much more along with him will he not give us all other things besides? All you have to do is ask. Ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door shall be open. You have not because you ask not. We can ask him for anything and for everything that we need. We're to depend on him for everything anyway. Not something sometimes, but everything all the time. That's our relationship with our Father. And he is the good and giving God. Every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights, in whom there is no variance, neither is there shadow of turning. He gives good gifts to his children. It's his good pleasure to give us the kingdom. And he's given us all things to freely enjoy. He supplies us richly, abundantly with all things. Jesus came that we might have life and have it abundantly. Parousio means overflowingly. So, he says, "Listen now, you rebels. Shall we bring forth water for you out of this rock?" Then Moses lifted up his hand and struck the rock. Not once, but twice. With his rod. It's like crucifying afresh the Son of God. That's what it's like. It's tantamount to that. Doing despite to the Spirit of grace. Disobedience is like witchcraft. And insubordination is iniquity. He was told what to do, and he did not do it. And Moses was very culpable, very responsible. And because of this, he was not permitted to go into the promised land. That's a little bit of background. So, anyway, water came forth. He struck it twice, and the water came forth. God sent the water out anyway. In abundance. It came forth abundantly, and the congregation and their beasts drank. God even cares for the beasts. He loves his animals. You know, when he wiped out the population of earth in the days of Noah, he preserved the animals and man through the eight that were saved in the ark. But all the species of animals. I love animals too. I don't know what it is. I just think they are so interesting, incredible, and the variety is so great in nature. And the balance of nature is a wondrous thing to behold. And God knows what he's doing. He made all these things for man. We're to rule over them. And he's provided everything in all abundance. So, but the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, "Because you have not believed me to treat me as holy in the sight of the sons of Israel, therefore you shall not bring this assembly into the land which I have given them." See, the whole idea is to be filled to overflowing. Even as he is, so are we in this world. Filled with the Spirit, filled with the Word. A mind that's marinated, a soul that's saturated with the Word of God. That produces the overflow, which is acceptable production in the sight of God. Filled to overflowing. Parousio is abundant, is the word abundant. pleroma, you remember that word probably from the many, many, many times it was mentioned if you went to Tetelestai Church. Pleroma means filled to overflowing. It's as full as you can be, filled to overflowing. And it relates to and is always used in conjunction with the filling of the Spirit and the residence and circulation of the Word of God in our souls. Another word is plousios, which is richly, like in 1 Corinthians 3:16 or Colossians 3:16, let the Word of Christ richly indwell your heart. That means in all abundance, lavishly. And then we have akio, which is another word. It's where the Holy Spirit is lavishly poured out into our hearts. The love of God is lavishly poured out into our hearts by the Holy Spirit in Romans 5:5. Plenty, terms like, and adjectives like plenty, plenteous, plentiful. Plenty for you and plenty left over. That's what God gives us. If something is condensed or concentrated, it seems like a little, but it yields abundance. You know, you can have one quart that makes 10 gallons of solution. So it is with God's provision for His people. It may not seem like a lot, but it's enough. It's always enough for you and with some left over. So can one get water from a rock? How about blood from a stone? Both. From the rock of our preservation, deliverance, and salvation. Christ is the rock of our salvation. He is the stone that the builders rejected. And He's the cornerstone by which the whole building is tied together and stands, without which the building will crumble. Those who are filled to overflowing with the Spirit are also filled to overflowing with the Word. You can't have one without the other. The Spirit fills us with the Word, and the Word fills us with the Spirit. Jesus said in John 6:63, "The words that I speak unto you are spirit and life. The flesh profits nothing." This is the reason for which He's called us to get in the flow until we overflow. Your soul is like a sponge, which when submerged in water, it becomes saturated and then has to be squeezed so that it might be empty to receive more of the same. What flows into it fills it to overflowing. As believers, we need to have our sponge saturated so it can be squeezed out and filled again and again. In this way, we're useful to the Lord and can serve one another by love. See, what you look at and listen to most is what you will soak in. If it's the world, then you will automatically be worldly minded. If it's the Word, then you'll be godly. If it's the world, you'll be worldly. If it's the Word, you'll be godly. Therefore, let the Word of Christ richly, abundantly, plousios, fill your heart. In Colossians 3:16. Or be continually filled to overflowing, that's plerao, with the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 5:18. Then you'll speak to one another in hymns, psalms, spiritual songs, because from the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So if you're filled with the Spirit, filled with the Word of God, what are you going to speak? The Word. Because it's what the heart contains. It's the content of the heart. Ezekiel 28:16. These are some abundance verses, but they're all good ones. This was said to Satan, "By the abundance of your trade," that is, through his activity and his solicitation, "you were internally filled with violence." He was a murderer, a manslayer, anthropoktonos from the beginning, from the very beginning. Jesus said in John 8:44, and a liar. And when he speaks a lie, speaking in his native tongue. "By the abundance of your trade, you were internally filled with violence and you sinned." Therefore I cast you as profane from the mountain of God. And I have destroyed you, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. Matthew 13:12. Whoever has, to him more shall be given, and he will have an abundance. But whoever does not have, even what he supposes that he has shall be taken away from him. In other words, it will all evaporate. Like the message, when people hear it, they don't remember what it was about. And it evaporates before they get to their car in the parking lot. They wouldn't think to hear it again, listen again. No, no, once is enough. One passing glance is enough. One cold snack a week. Plenty to live on. I don't think so. You got to get this in your soul. You have to be the sponge. Soak it up. The water of the word. Till you're filled with it. And then God will squeeze it out through his plan and fill you again. Fill you again. Your capacity will grow and grow and grow. Your capacity to trust God, to believe God, to rely on God, to rely on his word. To believe every word of God. To live by every word of God. Not by bread and water. That's what prisoners live on, bread and water. But by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Matthew 25:29. That was it. For everyone who has, more shall be given. Till it have an abundance. Luke 12:15. Beware and put on your and be on your guard against every form of greed. For not even when one has an abundance of material possessions. It's not about material possessions. Does his life consist of his possessions? Your possessions mean nothing to your life. You can't be owned by them. You can own them and not be owned by them, or you can own them and be owned by them. And always fret and worry about losing what you have and being a miser. You know how the only way to guarantee abundance and a complete supply is to give it away. It's the only way it works. That's God's principle. You say, well, doesn't he want us to keep some of it? Yeah, he wants 10% of it, which is just a token. But if you give it all away, Job used to give it all away, and the Lord would just fill his coffers. And there's people in this room that give it away, and God fills it up. I've experienced it recently. It's a wonderful thing that he does. And it's not why we do it, but it's just one of the automatic benefits of imitating our Father and our Savior is so generous. Gives to us everything we ask him for. You know? Gives us almost everything that he gives us everything we need and almost everything we want. Almost everything we want. You say, well, I don't have what I want. I don't have millions of dollars in the bank. You sure that's what you want? You better think twice about that one. There's case histories of people that won millions of dollars and it destroyed them and they died in short order. Because they couldn't handle it. They were either murdered or came to some violent end. Because that's a curse. Prosperity without capacity is a curse. The Apostle John said, I pray above all things that you would prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. See, he's talking about capacity. He who has capacity will receive even more capacity and an abundance. In other words, he'll be able to deal with every circumstance and situation that comes his way. Every emergency. Be no problem. So, it's not about possessions. Romans 5:17. For if by the transgression of the one, that's Adam, death reigned through the one, much more, those who receive the abundance of grace, grace in all of its categories, that's God's goodness in every realm of life. That's living grace and dying grace. I am what I am by the grace of God. His grace toward me did not prove vain, but I outproduced all the rest of them. Every one of them put together. That's what Paul said regarding the other apostles. Yet it wasn't me, it was the grace of God that was in and upon me. He knew the grace of God and how fantastic it is. That's God's favor upon us. that we don't earn or deserve or work for, and that we can never repay. It's just living in His favor, receiving the abundance of grace, and the gift of righteousness, cultivating the gift of righteousness into the fruit of righteousness, the fruit of the Spirit, love in our eight children. Galatians 5, 22 and 23. And there's no law against that. There's no law that limits the production of the fruit of the Spirit. It comes by the Word, deeply planted in good soil. It brings forth an abundant harvest, right? A bumper crop. 30, 60, and 100 fold. It says, those who receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness will reign in life. You'll be like royalty through the one who? Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 1:5. For just as the sufferings of Christ are ours in abundance, don't forget, you're going to suffer too. There's sufferings appointed. It's been appointed unto us not only to believe in Him, but to suffer for His sake. And all who will live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. Philippians 1:29, 2 Timothy 3:12. In this world, you will have trouble. But be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. You're called to the life that Jesus lived in the days of His humanity. Not to die, but to live. To be a living sacrifice. A living epistle. A living stone in the temple God's building for the indwelling of His Spirit. That's who we are. That's what we are. That's what He made us. So also our comfort is abundant through Christ. Our sufferings are abundant, but our comfort is abundant. It equals, the comfort equals the suffering. My grace is sufficient for you. The grace of me is enough for thee, literally. In 2 Corinthians 12:9. Second Corinthians 8:2. Paul's talking about his affliction. In a great ordeal of affliction, their abundance of joy and their deep poverty, I was talking about those who gave in Corinth, and their deep poverty overflowed in the wealth of their liberality. They gave it away. Remember the woman who gave her last two pennies? And she's memorialized in the Bible. She didn't care. Hey, I got two pennies. What two pennies did it do to me? I'll give it to the Lord. I'm sure He sustained her for the rest of her day. She said, I'll give my last two pennies and die. She didn't die. The Lord sustained her. She probably went home and there was a $1 million check in the mail. Oh, they didn't have mail back then. I guess they did, probably. Somebody brought it to her. Like Les's story last night. I'm sure it was true. Right, Les? It's true?
I'm not sure.
You got $5,400 from that lady. I mean, 56. Yeah, that's what I said. 5,400. I asked you, is it true?
Sure.
Oh, yes. I didn't want to bring anything that wasn't true.
Yeah, you know, I'm a little shaky.
That there was, you know, maybe that was slightly embellished. I've been known to do that. So, in every affliction, there's the abundance of joy. And out of poverty, there's liberality. Is that possible? Everything is oxymoronic in the Word of God. It's ironic. It's the irony. God's principles, you know what, if it doesn't make sense from a human standpoint, then it's God's wisdom. If it makes sense, then it's man's common sense, and common sense isn't good enough where spiritual matters are concerned, and everything's a spiritual matter. So in verse 14, 2 Corinthians 8, at this present time, your abundance being a supply for their need. They're giving to help somebody who's in need. Paul tells Titus, one of the prototype pastors of the first century church, he says, tell those in your congregation to be ready at all times to meet urgent needs. That means to supply people with what they need. Somebody comes to you and says, my mother doesn't have any blood pressure medicine. She has no money. She don't have a dime. Could you help me? How much is it? Oh, $56. I don't know. Heck yeah. If I have it, you got it. I don't need it. My wife will give me $5 for my pocket. That's what we do. That's nothing. You cannot give the Lord. He says, those who give to the poor lend it to the Lord, who will repay him abundantly. Proverbs 19:7. I don't just know the verse, I know where it is. You got to know the Word of God. I don't know nearly enough, and I don't know anything as I ought to. None of us do. The more you learn, the more you know. You don't know very much at all, because it all coalesces and correlates so beautifully. And when it does, that's when your life's exciting. That's what I live for, honestly. Not for anything else. Not for human relationships, but for that relationship with the Word of God. And to have those things connect is just the most satisfying of all endeavors in life. And guess what? The Lord loves that. If that's what you live for, He loves it. Because Jesus Christ lived for that as well. It reminds him of his Son, Jesus Christ. Philippians 4:12. Paul says, I know how to get along with very little. I also know how to live in prosperity. Because in any and every circumstance, I've learned the secret of being filled and going hungry. Doesn't matter to me. Both of having abundance and suffering need. But I have received everything in full and have an abundance. I am amply supplied, having received from Epaphroditus what you have sent. This is the gift from the Philippians. A fragrant aroma, an acceptable sacrifice. It's the overflow, well-pleasing to God. That which fills the heart comes out through the mouth in Matthew 12:35. Your words are your treasures. God's word is the greatest treasure of all. It should be your treasures. The word that you have in you is your treasure. See, lay up your treasure in heaven. Commit that word to your soul. And then God will have something to commend on that day. Because the word will be the basis of all commendation. No condemnation, but that doesn't guarantee commendation. But some will be commended and others won't. Some will have something to commend and others will not. Some will build with gold, silver, and precious stones. And some will build with wood, hay, and straw. And the fire will consume those earthly things, those things that are subject to burning. But the gold, silver, and precious stones, the things that God creates in the earth through time, heat, and pressure, capacity, will be rewarded in eternity. And all that meets with the Word in your soul and is manifest. So let your words on earth be few, so it says. And at the same time, let His words richly fill your heart. That's very, very good advice. Take it to heart, please. So, that's the type part of my message. Now we go to the handwritten part. John 10:10. He wants you, Jesus came to give you an overflowing life. I came that they might have life and have it more abundantly. The thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy. But I've come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. He wants us to be filled to overflowing. Filled to overflowing with the Holy Spirit. In Ephesians 5:18. He says, be not drunk with wine, but be filled full. Filled to overflowing with the Holy Spirit. Pleroma, filled to overflowing. What fills the heart spills from the mouth. So what are you full of? Cursing and bitterness? The poison of asps under their tongue? Coarse jesting? Dirty jokes? Funny quips all the time? Nothing serious to say? Nothing of spiritual import and rapport with other believers? That's more fun than anything else. That's more satisfying than anything else in life. If your relationships with people are based on anything else, then they're empty, meaningless, and probably should be forsaken. From the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. the word of Christ richly, plousios, or parousia, overflowingly, overflow your heart. Overflow your heart. It comes out from the heart, through the mouth. Marinate your mind, saturate your soul. Overflow your sponge. Overflow your banks. In John chapter 4, let that word well up, fill up, and overflow. Luke 6:38, cast your bread upon the waters. What's that mean? That means give indiscriminately. I mean, if somebody asks you, just give it. And it will return to you in short order. Yes, it will. Guess what? Pressed down, condensed, shaken together, no space in between, very solid, very dense, and overflowing, shall men pour into your bosom. I gave away some money. I'm not telling you to who or why or how much. And as soon as they did, I got a check in the mail for twice that much. So how does that work? It's not about money. But that's just how God does things. He's preparing me for this message. It's not about money. It's about capacity. Jeremiah 17:5. The Lord is the fountain of life. And you'll be like a tree planted by rivers of water, whose roots go down deep and will produce an abundance of fruit in season, also in Psalm 1. See, it's like not letting it flow or overflow or spill over or shine forth. It's like putting a bushel over your lamp. It's not to be contained. The light's not to be contained under a bushel. But it's to spill over, shine forth before men. Set it free in the midst of your house so that it lights all who enter. That's what we're supposed to do. Jeremiah 15:16 says, as your words came to me, I ate and drank them. I took them to heart, internalized them, and they became to me the fullness of joy and the overflowing expression of happiness. That's from the NET Bible. See, and Jeremiah was a persecuted prophet who said this when everything and everybody was against him. But when one knows fully that the Lord is for him, it does not concern him that everyone else is against him. In the wilderness, the rock accompanied them. The one who was stricken, indeed he was, and abundant water gushed forth. When Christ was stricken, the abundance of grace came to us. Psalm 78:20-24. More than enough for them all. Isaiah 55:10 says, the rain and the snow fall from the sky and abundantly water the earth, so that it brings forth crops that feed all its inhabitants. People who need food to live, animals that eat, and people and animals who eat other animals. It's perfect. The chain, the food chain. So many are filled with themselves and their own thoughts. Oh, their thoughts are abundant, but they're all their own thoughts. You're filled with your own thoughts. A friend of mine, somebody said to him one time, and he said, talk. He says, you know what? You're filled with your own thoughts. And he said to himself, he said, you know what? That's true. I am. I better change that. Filled with my own thoughts. So I'm filled with God's word. Filled with God's thoughts. Filling their minds with worthless thoughts, notions, and images. Vain imaginations. Vain imaginations were a mind that fantasizes. No fantasy. They never learn to cast down imaginations, speculations, in order that they might be filled with God's thoughts. His thoughts are not ours. Isaiah 55 also. His ways are not ours. His are higher. So much higher. As high as the heaven is above the earth, so are his thoughts and ways. Higher than ours. So don't be satisfied until his word overflows your soul. Till you literally think his word, speak his word all the time. You still have time left. That's what you're here for. You say, well, can't we just talk about other things? Sure, if you want to, but that's not going to help you any. And what you're going to talk about are things that you're more interested in than Christ and his word. Anyway, just face it. Just admit it. You're better off to be honest. Then God can maybe help you. Maybe there's a remedy for your fleshly life and time. Your carnal life and time. I'm going to mount to a hill of beans. Love is the overflowing river, Galatians 5:22. It's the overflowing river of joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, faith, meekness, and moderation, which no law can produce. Which no law restricts. An abundant supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. Let it be, let it go, let it flow until you overflow. God is generous, giving us every good thing to freely enjoy. You can't have or keep any of it in the material realm until you're willing to give it all away. Just willing to give it away. He didn't say you have to. Go sell all that you need. I mean, all that you have and follow me. And he went away sad. He wasn't willing to do that. If he'd been willing to do that, he wouldn't have had to do it. I believe that. Because it's not communism or socialism where you share the wealth. But there's true needs. And God will send people that have true needs, that have urgent needs. And you're the one that he's chosen or selected and given what they need so that you can give it to them. Don't turn them away. See, somebody hears this message and will say, oh, I know who I can ask. Ty. I don't care. I don't. Susie doesn't care. Dan and Judy don't care. Les doesn't even care. He doesn't have any money, but he don't care. I'm kidding. God gives us everything that we need and some left over to give away. Some of you have learned these things and know that God provides no matter how much of that which he has, that is, has given us, is given away. You cannot outgive the living and giving God who's given a matching pledge. That's Proverbs 19:17. Give it away. Give it away. Give it away now. What song is that? That's the Red Hot Chili Peppers. Proverbs in Ecclesiastes tells us that it's wise to work a long day and to create multiple income streams. That's what it tells us. To work them all because at various times one or more will succeed. And sometimes one or more won't. So you work them all every day. You have income streams. Different things that produce income. Not just one thing. But what happens if that thing's gone? And you don't have anything. You don't have any income. And God will give you other things that generate income. You know, I mean, I have 100 different enterprises. No, I don't. But I have several. My wife's one. A good one. There's other things that God will show you that generate money and you don't have to really spend much time doing them. Don't do eBay though, huh? Too hard these days. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and everything else will be added to you. That's the key. There's the key right there. Everything else will be added. Knowing this, that the Lord will supply all that you need according to his riches and glory. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, which means he owns everything. Everything's his. So So you can't give him anything. Who's given to the Lord that he should return in return and give to him? Who's counseled the Lord? Who's his counsel? Who's qualified to counsel the Lord? Nobody. Philippians 4:19, he will give you, according to the riches of his glory by Christ Jesus, everything that you need. A sustained inflow, outflow, and overflow of life, of love, of grace. Mezona Karin, a greater and more abundant grace. He has a great and more abundant grace. And I'm taking all the grace that he's given. He's the God of all grace, and he's able to make all grace abound to every one of us. So that the thanksgiving many will redound to the praise of his glory, the praise of his grace. That's all I have for this evening, so let's pray. Father, thank you for your magnificent grace. Thank you for your generosity. Thank you for your abundant provision of life, of love, of spiritual life, of the abundance of grace in Christ Jesus that's ours, the favor that's ours. Father, we know that we're undeserving. But your plan to send your Son and to satisfy the justice of God, to fulfill the righteousness of God, and then for Christ to die and take the old order down into death, and then rise again victorious from the grave, declared publicly to be the Son of God with power by the Spirit of holiness, Jesus Christ our Lord. And Father, we're going to have bodies just like his. Father, we're training for reigning. And Father, this life is so that we might have the best resurrection ever, a better resurrection. These do not receive deliverance because they desired a better resurrection. Paul says that I might attain to the outstanding resurrection from the dead in Philippians 3. The out-resurrection, or outstanding resurrection, a better resurrection. See, resurrection will either be really, really, really good, or not quite as good as you might want it to be. That is, with in terms of the inheritance, because those who never opt for progressive sanctification, cooperation with the program of God to set you apart from sin and unto his purpose, have no inheritance in the kingdom of God or of Christ. If any man's work burned, he shall suffer loss. If any man's work abides, remains, he'll receive a reward. If any man's work is burned, he'll suffer loss. Oh, he'll be saved. But like one escaping through the flame. As a wise master builder, I laid the foundation, the only one that can be laid, which is Jesus Christ. Let every man be careful how he builds upon the foundation and choosing the building materials. Wood, hay, stubble, gold, silver, precious stones, for every man's work will be tested by fire to see what it's made of. And if any man's work abides, he'll receive a reward. If any man's work is burned, he'll suffer loss. Oh, he'll be saved. But like one escaping through the flame. Father, etch these things into our souls. Fill us like sponges, Father, with the water of your word. And then squeeze us out and fill us again and again. We pray these things in the matchless name of the one who gave his life for us so that he could give it to us. Jesus Christ, our great God and Savior. We unashamedly say we love you, Lord Jesus. It's in his name that we pray. Amen. Thank you. Oh yeah, thanks, Timmy.
We're going to rip off like a lot of these 30 minutes.